best gifts. And yet I show you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Father, as we open up your word and approach the concept of love, we pray for understanding. We pray that you would open our hearts, that you'd impart your love into us this evening. You'd speak to us. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love. Beginning of chapter 12, Paul introduces spiritual things. Concerning spiritual things, I don't want you to be ignorant. He goes on to list the spiritual gifts, their purpose, the edification of the body, that God chooses who goes where and what gifts he gives to whom. And then he says, desire the best gifts. Use your gifts. He encourages the church in Corinth to work together, that each person's strength and gift is important, and our lacks drive us together to work as a unit. Then he says, but you know what's even better? You know what's more important is love. What's most important is love. So yes, desire gifts, but more so, love. We see in the first three verses him emphasizing that love is most important, more important than what you say. He says, using himself, Paul said earlier in chapter 11, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And he uses himself as an example. He says, though I would speak with the tongues of men and of angels, no matter what I could say, even if I could, by the power of the Holy Spirit, speak in a language that I didn't otherwise know, even if I could speak in an angelic tongue, a heavenly language, if I could say the perfect thing, the best thing, it means nothing apart from love. See, it's important what you say, but what's more important and most important is love. It's not about what you say. He talks about the gifts and the abilities that we could have. He says, even if I had the gift of prophecy. In the next chapter, in chapter 14, he's going to give the argument that prophecy is the greatest gift, the spiritual gifts, greater than tongues, the most effective gift for the edification of the body. He says, even if I had the best gift, even if I had, and notice here, all knowledge, if I understood all mysteries, and I had all faith. Think about the thing that really impressed Jesus was people's faith. He ran across someone that had faith, and he was impressed. He said, man, I haven't seen someone like this that has this much faith. According to your faith, you're healed. Let it be according to your faith. And he was always impressed with faith. And yet Paul says, if I had all faith, if I had my full of faith, if I had as much faith as one could have, with all knowledge, knowing everything, understanding all mysteries. There's so much in life that's a mystery to us that we don't understand, especially when it comes to spiritual things. But even if I understood it all, and there was no more mysteries, fully comprehended spirituality and the Holy Spirit and the gifts and God's love, and could see through and comprehend all mysteries, if I didn't have or possess this thing called love, he says, I would be nothing. I am nothing. It's not about what we say. It's not about what we can do or learn or what gift we have. Then he says it's not even about what we do. He says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, even if I gave up everything, Paul says, sell every earthly possession I own, give up every last penny, even if I gave it all and did it all, and though I give my body to be burned, my very life, giving myself the point of being a martyr. He says, if I lack this love, it would profit me nothing. So Paul here, given the argument, love is most important. And it's important what you say, what you do, what abilities and gifts that you have that God's given you. But it's not as important as love. And love is always most important. Paul here centering the focus on the topic of love. You know, Jesus used love as an evidence for people. He says, if you want to find out who the false prophets are and the false teachers, you need to look for love. Jesus in the Bible doesn't never point to spiritual gifts as evidence of the Holy Spirit, but rather spiritual fruit as evidence. And fruit is evidence, and love is the proper evidence. Jesus says, they will know you are my disciples because you love one another. And people will get ideas twisted, and they'll think that they have spiritual gifts, and they'll point to their gifts as evidence of their relationship with God or their spirituality. And they'll be deceived, and they'll actually come to Jesus and say, I have the gift of prophecy. I cast out demons in your name, Jesus. And they'll point to their gifts, but they won't have love. And Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. So Paul, centering the topic here on love, Jesus points to love as an evidence. They'll know you're my disciples by your love. The importance, most important, love. The book of Galatians, Paul tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love. So gifts are necessary. We all have spiritual gifts, and that's a part of spirituality. But spiritual fruit is essential and more important. And we should, as Paul exemplifies, shows us how, we should examine our own lives and look for fruit and look for love and test, not just what we say and what we do and what gifts we've been given, but we should look for love. Do we have love? Not about those things. And then we see three things in these three verses that we can use love. We looked at how Jesus is the standard and the test for spiritual things. As he said, no spirit can say that Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. And no spirit, I'm going to read it real quick in verse 3 of chapter 12. Therefore I make known to you, no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Jesus being the standard and the test for spiritual things. But we can use love as sort of a test also. And Paul here, using his own life, and using the test of love, he finds three things. Love can tell us, either the presence or absence of love, can tell you, first of all, what you've become. He says, you know, I can say all this stuff, I can have the tongues of men and of angels, but I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal apart from love. So the test of love can tell us what we've become. And just as, you know, a clanging cymbal or a sounding brass is just noise, it doesn't have use, it's purposeless and useless. So the absence of love can make what we've become useless, strong. Paul, using it in a very, as approaching the whole topic in a very sensitive way, again using himself. If there's no love, no matter what I say, I have become a sounding brass and a clinging cymbal. The love test can tell us what we've become. And apart from love, what we will become is just noise, no matter what we say. It'll have no substance and purpose. It won't have the effect. Imagine that. What is he saying? You could speak in a heavenly tongue, and it could just be noise. How could that be possible? Someone speaking in a heavenly speech, but not communicating, but not getting anything across. The absence of love. The test can tell us what we've become. It also can tell us who we are. As he says, I can have the gift of prophecy, understand all mysteries, have all knowledge, all faith. But if I have not love, I am nothing. The test of love can tell us who we are. And who we are, completely absent and apart from love, is nothing. That's very, very strong. And again, someone could have all faith, have their full of faith, and be nothing. How is that possible? Love surely is important and essential. Also here we see that with the test of love, we can find out what profit we have. Speaking of rewards and effectiveness in what we say and do, our lives. And again, he says, doesn't matter what I do, if I have not love, it profits me nothing. There is no profit. There is no reward. There is no positive effect. Absent and apart from love. Very, very strong truths showing us the importance of God's love. Next, Paul seeks to help define love. Now, the Bible talks a lot about love, and we certainly cannot define it exhaustively and with a way that we can truly get our mind around it and grasp it. We can't effectively communicate God's love in, you know, 30 minutes or even a lifetime. And the definitions are kind of glimpses. They're accurate. They give us hints and ideas. But the concept of love, the Bible says in Ephesians, as Paul speaks to the church in Ephesus, that this idea of God's love surpasses knowledge. We should seek to know it, to understand it, but it surpasses our knowledge. We don't have the capability to fully comprehend God's love. But Paul gives here a definition. And let's read verses 4 through 7. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Paul, speaking of love, as selfless, constant, perfect. From the first three verses, we see the importance of love. If I have not love, if I have not love, If I have not love, I've become nothing, I am nothing, I profit nothing. So we need to have love. We need to possess it. We need to find it. We need to prioritize it as most important. We need to seek it. In the beginning of verse 1 of chapter 14, the conclusion of this whole idea, he says, pursue love. We need to pursue it. We need to know what we're looking for. And this here gives us a definition of what we're looking for. We're not just looking for any type of love. You know, there's different words you all know in the Greek used for love. And Paul uses the word agape to speak of this specific type of love. A divine love. A selfless gift love. A love that cannot be found apart from God. We see through this definition that this is something we don't have. This isn't something we dig deep and we accomplish. As we see, suffering long and is kind, not envying, never failing, never being provoked. We're provoked. When we suffer long, we're mean. We can't do this of ourselves. This isn't something we find in ourselves or in the world. This is something more. This is something special. This is something quite amazing. I've said before, I believe the love of Christ is the most powerful force in the universe. I thought I made that up. I was reading the Haley commentary today, and he says he believes it's the most powerful ultimate force there is. He beat me to it. I'm sure lots of other people come to that conclusion. It's very clear through Scripture. But it's something outside of ourselves that we seek and pursue. He says, if I have not love, the whole amazing mystery of it all is that this love we can actually receive. Jesus said, abide in my love. Then he says, a new commandment I write to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Jesus loves us like this. But the amazing mystery of it all is that we can receive that love. We can be loved in this way. And it can somehow get inside of us. And we can somehow love others like this. That's amazing. That's spiritual. Paul says concerning spiritual things. I don't want you to be ignorant. The only way we could do this is that our spirit bears witness with his spirit. We walk in the spirit. We live according to the spirit. And we, in a spiritual way, let his love flow from us. And if we don't tap into that, we're nothing. There's nothing more. There's nothing else. That's all there is. That's what it's all about. This concept of love, this perfect love, this divine, unnatural love that only comes from him. This love is an action, but it's also the motive behind it. It's a force. It's a person. You can't nail this concept down. It's broader. When Paul talks about it in Ephesians, he says we need to comprehend the width, the height, the depth, the length, four-dimensional. It's outside of anything our brains can formalize, this idea of love. Seeking to define it, as we look for it, we pursue it, knowing that it is most important and essential for us to attain. John, trying to define this concept, uses divinity. God is love. Peter, in 2 Peter, gives a little list of things, speaking of a Christian progression in life. And it starts with faith. He says, add to your faith virtue, and so on and so forth. And in the end, you get to love. Love is the destination that we're headed toward. It's what's at the end. It's what trumps all other pursuits, much superior to all else. Abide in my love, Jesus says. It's amazing. God loves us, no matter what. This love, I said that this concept cannot be communicated or demonstrated. But, you know, this book is basically a communication of the love of Christ. 66 chapters trying to convey to us what love is about, what love means. Demonstrated, God sought to demonstrate this love in the person of Jesus Christ over 33 years. He's given us as much of an example as he could. The Bible says that, and this is love, not that we love him, but that Christ loved us. And he demonstrated this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, trying to communicate, convey, show us, download the idea and concept that he loves us with a love that's different than anything this world has. Divine. We could spend a lot of time in this definition, but we're going to continue. And I'll read through the rest of the chapter, beginning with verse 8. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Love is eternal. Love is our destination. Love really is maturity. Through this book of Corinthians, many times Paul chides the Corinthians for their immaturity. You're carnal. You're babes. You need to grow up and stop fighting. You have division. And here he says, love is what maturity is all about. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. Sooner or later, I had to grow up. And growing up, when it comes to spiritual things, is all about love. Love is, in the end, our destination. Love is eternal. When he compares the fruit of the Spirit and love, the concept of love, to all the other gifts and to many other things, there's something substantial about love because, in the end, it will remain. He says things like prophecy, the gift of prophecy, things like the gift of tongues, the gift of understanding. These things are in part, he says. They're for now. You see, when we step into eternity, into heaven, there will be perfect knowledge. And someone having a special gift of knowledge will no longer remain. We will know as we are known, he says. When we step into eternity and spend our life in heaven, everyone will know the heavenly languages and the earthly language. See, you won't need a gift of the Spirit in order to speak in another tongue. These special gifts are for here and now. You see, we lack. And God has it here on earth to where we have special gifts that others lack in so that we can work together. But things are going to be a little different in heaven. There aren't going to be lacks. We're going to be complete. And these special spiritual gifts are a temporary thing until we're all brought to the likeness and fullness of Christ, the perfect man. But love is not a temporary thing. This idea of love will remain. And when we step into eternity in heaven, love will be that much more stronger and evident. and more realized in what it's all about. Not at all losing any of its essence and reality, but it will become central. It will remain most important. Love is eternal. Love is constant. Will not vanish. Will not fade away. We were talking about this Sunday, how some take this verse, verses 8 through 10, specifically 10. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. Some say this is speaking of the canon of Scripture. And once that comes, the sign gifts of the Spirit will no longer have a use. I don't believe that's the case. Let's turn real quick to Ephesians chapter 4. When what is perfect, when what has come, the canon of Scripture or something else? Ephesians chapter 4, speaking of spiritual gifts, he says in verse 12, what are spiritual gifts for? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I believe spiritual gifts will be necessary until the body of Christ is perfected. We're not there yet. That's definitely not something we can argue about. That's what the purpose of gifts are for, to build up the body. Are we completely built up? I believe it's speaking of till Christ comes. And he goes on in this chapter in 13 in Corinthians to speak of when we will be known, we will know just as we are known. The Bible says that when we see him, we will become like him. The bride of Christ will be presented before Christ, and we will be perfected, finished, complete. And at that point, love will remain and gifts will cease. First verse of chapter 14. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Through this whole thing, we see the superiority of love. As he says in the last verse of chapter 12, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Love. Love more excellent than the gifts. In verse 13 of chapter 13, and now abide faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. And then pursue love first, and then desire spiritual gifts. Every time the Bible takes love and compares it, it always wins out. It always comes out on top. It's always first. Priority, most important. So what is the conclusion of things? Certainly, we could spend our life studying this chapter in a spiritual way and seeking to pursue love. But for today, what can we receive from Paul's instruction? Love. Love is priority. Love, to define it, to understand it. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and read just a few verses there that we've mentioned one already. Chapter 3, verse 17 in the book of Ephesians. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. How is it that we get filled up with God? By love. And Paul encourages his readers to spend their lives trying to grasp the concept of love. Meditate upon it. How wide is it? How much can it do? Where is it? What does it look like? Give yourself over to understanding, defining love, pursuing love. As Jesus said, abide in my love. Are you abiding in the love of Christ this evening? See, Jesus always loves us. But in that statement, he implies that sometimes we're not experiencing that love in a fullness. We can position ourselves in such a way that we don't feel, we don't receive that love. He says, no matter what I say, no matter what I do, no matter what I have, if I have not love, I am nothing, I profit nothing. And what was the other one? I've become nothing. So it's possible for us not to receive that love, not to possess, not to position ourselves in such a way that we're abiding in it. So pursue it. Receive it. And then he seeks to encourage us, using love as a gauge for maturity, that we would grow up and learn to use this love, not just to find it and to think about it and to point to it and to feel it and receive it, but to use it and to go out and love people. As Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another as I have loved you. Agape somebody. Let love flow through your life. Let's pray. I love the topic of love. Father, we look to you this evening. And we recognize your word to be true. And we know that we need your love. We need your love tonight. Lord, help us never to live a life absent of your love. Show us. Convict us of any area where we seek to push your love out. May your love be priority and central in our hearts and lives. May we make more room for your love tonight. Show us how to pursue it, to define it, and to grow up to use it. I pray that you'd pour out your love on us. We know your word to be true, and we know that you love us, each and every one of us, fully and completely, with this special kind of love. May we receive it fully and learn to use it. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.